Hello and welcome to A Juno Afternoon. It's Friday and it's February 10th. I'm Andy Klein and I'm on the right microphone now. On today's show, the Underground Connection is bringing music from Petersburg and Seattle to Juno, and we'll talk to the organizers and musicians about tomorrow's show. A Valentine's edition of Mudrooms is ahead next week, and we'll hear from Mudrooms and from SIGLA, the organization that will be the beneficiary of the night's proceedings. And the Juno Public Libraries have a lot of excellent programs happening in February, including story time and learning about landscaping and tenant rights. That's all ahead on Juno Afternoon. I hope you'll join us. Well, looking ahead in the weather for tonight, there's snow possible. It's going to be around 32 degrees and southeast winds up to 25 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%, and new snow accumulation might be 1 to 3 inches possible. For tomorrow, we're looking at snow and rain, becoming all rain after about 9 a.m. and highs near 39 degrees, southeast winds from around 10 miles an hour, and chance of precipitation is going to be 90%. Little or no snow accumulation is expected for tomorrow, and then tomorrow night, rain and snow, and lows around 38 degrees. For Sunday, rain and snow also in the forecast, becoming all rain after 9 a.m. and highs near 42 degrees. Southeast winds around 15 miles an hour. For Sunday night, rain before 3 a.m., then snow. And for Monday, snow before 9 a.m., then rain. And this is going to be kind of happening back and forth for the rest of next week. Chance of rain and snow for most of Monday night, Tuesday as well. And then for Tuesday night and Wednesday, looking at snow and highs around 34 degrees, lows around 27 degrees. That's the weather coming up. A mixture of snow and rain in the foreseeable forecast.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Kliné Adi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. On a sunny day in May of 2022 near Delta Junction in Interior Alaska, a biologist is watching a dozen plains bison grazing in an open green field. They're really skinny and in poor shape, he notes. It was a tough winter for the Delta bison herd. Over the past weeks, he's seen the shaggy backs of dozens of dead bison emerge from the melting snow, mostly yearlings and calves that starved over the winter. Early in the winter of 2022, storms dumped an almost impenetrable layer of heavy snow atop the grass and sedges that bison feed on. And even worse, it rained on the snow and then froze, creating a layer of ice. That made it impossible for many bison and other wildlife to reach food. By midsummer of 2022, the full picture emerged. 180 bison, or nearly a third of the 600-animal Delta bison herd, died of starvation over the previous winter. Over the summer of 2022, the survivors recovered, and by fall, there were signs that the Delta bison herd is rebounding. The plan is to maintain a sustainable herd of about 360 bison. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
Well, I'm attempting to play a little bit of Eli Will's music here, who's in the studio with us, but, you know, technical difficulties. We got the sound file is not quite working for us, but we'll get to that in just a minute. But better than that, we've actually got folks live here in the studio with us. So Eli Wills is with us. Zach Pease is with us from Underground Connection. And also Sarah Fine and Thomas Walsh are from Delgado, and they're up from Petersburg. Eli's here from Seattle. Welcome to all of you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys, if you don't want to wear that, you don't have to. That's fine. Yeah, we've got masks kind of optional here, but we appreciate you wearing them in the studio with us. So thanks so much for coming up, all of you guys. Zach, maybe I'll get you to get on the mic first and just kind of introduce what's going on with Underground Connection this weekend.
Yeah, so it's our second show of the year. We got Eli from Seattle and Delgado from Petersburg. Rainbow Foods, big shout out. Thank you for the sponsorship this month. Super stoked. It's going to be a real good time Saturday at the Crystal Saloon. And afterwards, there's going to be an after party where Delgado takes the main stage and Eli, after his live set, goes and plays a DJ set upstairs. So we're taking over the whole Crystal Saloon Saturday.
That's cool.
Swing by.
Sarah and Thomas from Delgado from Petersburg. Tell me a little bit about your band playing in Petersburg, small town Alaska, man, getting gigs. You must be like
making gigs.
We were just talking about that. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you got to kind of make opportunities. Like, it's a very DIY scene in Petersburg, but I mean, there's a ton of, there's a ton of opportunity. People love live music and there's a ton of really talented musicians there.
So there's a Petersburg scene happening kind of.
A little bit. Yeah, there's a couple bands. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
That's good to know. I kind of wasn't aware of it. But
that stuff. We were just talking about that. It's like the communities here are pretty isolated, even though we're so close. You know, I mean, we were thrilled that Underground Connection was willing to fly us to Juneau. That changes everything. That and the fact that somebody is putting us up in their house for free, because like otherwise we'd be spending like $1,000 and just to sleep somewhere. It makes it, you know, impossible. So it's really cool that there's groups like this that kind of make it happen.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And Zach, tell me a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll obviously talk to you, Eli, as well, all the way up from Seattle. But Zach, it's this Underground Connection. It's like you say, just kind of getting going. And I know you and Taylor Vidic are kind of working on it in partnership. And how you swinging it? How are you able to swing it? How's it? You know, is it all in faith or what's going on?
I mean, yeah, faith in ourselves, faith in our friends, faith in the community, and in the artists. I mean, I spent all day running around picking people up, grabbing gear. You know, I'm gonna go do that after this. We're gonna go set up. So it's, you know, pretty home built, like a lot of things in Juneau. You want it done, you got to do it yourself.
This will sound a little wild. I saw there was a really good interview I watched with Bruce Springsteen. Howard Stern did this interview with Springsteen. Did any of you guys see it?
No.
So the one thing that Springsteen talked about that was really interesting, he talked about people like you, Zach. He was like, these people are the underpinnings of rock and roll in America. Like, they're not necessarily musicians, but they're the people that set up the ability for musicians to have practice spaces, to get gigs, you know, borrowing equipment, having a space, having a garage. Some guy's got a garage and he just lets a band go make noise there for an hour. And he said, like, this is the underpinnings of how music and art in general, I think you could expand that to more art, performance art especially, happens in the world, right? You know, it's this sort of, you're like an unsung hero.
Well, thanks, Andy. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of, I think that people are, you know, it's so funny because you think, oh, music, it just happens. But Eli, coming from Seattle, thanks for coming up. And it's great to have you here. But coming from Seattle, tell me about the scene as you see it that's happening there and how you got connected with coming up to Juneau.
Yeah. The scene in Seattle is alive and well, I would say, as always.
Yeah, big city and lots of music.
Yeah. Lots of established venues. A lot of them luckily survived during COVID. I actually work at the Crocodile Lounge there and was part of the remodel that happened during COVID. And yeah, it's been a really awesome experience being part of like a venue that has a very deep history, but is now in a new space and trying to figure out post-COVID music.
What did they do during COVID? They just kind of weathered the storm and went underwent a remodel.
They gutted their old venue and moved into a 3-story steakhouse. Or what was a steakhouse. And so now there's 3 stages, one of which is like a comedy club movie theater. and then Madame Lou's, which is a mid-sized venue, and then the Crocodile. It's all the Crocodile, but then the Crocodile is upstairs, and that's like an 800 cap, 900 cap hall.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's really cool. So are the floors in any way connected, or they're just all very separate?
Yes, all of them are connected. There's like staircases connecting everything, okay. But it is very much a maze in there, and people get lost. And they do festivals like twice a year, I think, where they'll have all the stages open and you can walk in between things.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, as far as me and Zach, how I'm connected here is we met in a DIY community in Bellingham, basically a community that puts on a Bellingham Arts and Music Festival, and really connected over throwing and creating events together as well as music. And
Bingo.
Yeah,
that sounds cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Eli, I think I now have this. Shelley Delaney has been working behind the scenes to bring up the sound file that you brought in, cool. Zach. So let me see.
Thank you, Shelley.
Play a little bit of that, and sure. Maybe we can talk about sort of in general your music, and then talk to you guys too about the music you're making as well in Petersburg. So this is part of Underground Connection. The show's tomorrow night at the Crystal Saloon, 8 o'clock. And it's the second ever Underground Connection show. This brand new thing that's happening in 2023. It's really cool. And Zach Pies and Taylor Vittick are making it happen. Well, this is a little bit of Eli Wills, one of the performers for tomorrow night.
Now this feeling I've done wrong. They say truth will set you free. Feel like you can't speak. You can speak to me. And I will listen and try to understand. That makes us human. And I'm okay. I'm not okay. Maintenance required each and every day. And though I do my set you free, feel like you can't speak, you can speak to me, and I will listen, try to understand all that we know that makes us you.
That's That's a little bit of truth there from Eli Wills. And Eli, thanks for letting us listen to an early mix there. It sounds like you're still, it's a little bit in, still yeah. in the works, that song.
Work in progress.
Yeah, well, that's really cool to be able to hear a work in progress like that. And tell me what pieces of that song are you kind of working on now that you're trying to perfect or?
Yeah, so it's, yeah, still working on the mix a bit. Working with my friend Isaac, who owns Mysterious Red X Studios in Seattle. And yeah, I wrote that song in Ableton on my computer, you know, just with me, and then wanted to expand the sound. And so sent it to a couple of my friends. Jake, my friend who plays drums, Luke plays guitar on that song, Zach's playing sax, and my dad is actually playing the organ.
I heard you say that a lot of the sound we just heard is actually now in the newer mix is all organ.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But there's a lot of elements from the original mix that I sent Isaac that he took out or we took out, and then actually preparing for the sets tonight and tomorrow, I'm playing just the electronic version of the song. And realizing that I was kind of missing some of those elements in this new version of it. Mm-hmm. So now we're kind of trying to combine the two.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have specific music? I mean, I hear Bon Iver maybe, or there's different things I hear when I heard that.
Yeah.
What are some of the kind of musical influences you felt have really...
He's definitely huge. Justin Vernon. Sigur Rós was a really big one for me.
Oh, love
up.
It.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Alt-J... And Glass Animals.
Yeah,
those
great.
Were like my figuring out that I liked music bands, you know, or like
Sigur Rós is famous in public radio. Do you know why you hear about this? Because they have famously given what is roundly known as the worst interview in the history of public radio, because they got a guy that was really kind of trying to be sort of I don't know what he was getting at, but he kept saying like, you do all your music, but you don't even speak a real language. Like, what are you? And they were basically like, well, this guy, we're never going to get through to this guy. So yeah. I'm not going to even answer this. So anyway, it's 30 minutes of really awkward.
Oh, actually, that kind of makes sense for them.
It's amazing to listen to actually.
Nice. I'll definitely check it out.
So awkward that it's great. Yeah. Yes. Right. You end up loving them even more. Yeah. Well, let's turn to you guys, Delgado from Petersburg, and kind of a husband and wife team. That's really awesome and also risky, but you know, congratulations on making that work.
This is just the only way. I mean, we're just a partnership in everything. We're business partners and we're band partners. And
tell me about your business partners. Your business partners in what?
It's a funny question. We're actually law partners. We met in law school, and we really wanted to open up a small business together because it would be a little easier to see each other more and play music together more,
yeah.
And you know, eventually have babies that we can take on tour with us. I don't know what that's going to be like, but we'll find out.
That's cool. That's cool. You got the plan. Family band.
That's right. Family band.
Right.
Hopefully I can make a drummer. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's awesome. Wow. That's really very cool. And we got a cut here called True Friends for Radio is a cut. Is this in a completed form, or is it something that you feel like it still needs work? Or
I mean, I'm realizing now that I've spent some time recording music that I've written, it makes me rethink all the albums I've ever heard, because I'm just like, wow, this was just, it's not that it was just good enough and they had to stop, but like at some point you have to stop.
You have to
cut the master track. And like, I know for a fact that the bands go out and they do one show and they're like, oh, we should have done that. You know, or you listen to it a few times in the mix, you know, you're like, oh, what if we should have brought that up in the mix. And so no, it's never finished, but you know, like, and it's, you know, but it's close, actually. We play this one differently live now.
Yeah,
It's already too late. Well, all right. Well, let's listen to it. This one's True Friends for Radio. This is Delgado. They'll be performing as well at Crystal Saloon tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. And this is Music from Petersburg. Thank you. Delgado. They're out of Petersburg. They're here with us. Sarah Fine and Thomas Walsh are Delgado. Although it sounds like there's more people in Delgado when you hear that, right? Because that's the magic of studio work, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Overdubs.
Yeah.
Overdubs.
Sarah was saying that do you kind of act as the producer, Tom?
I'm the one that's had to acquaint themselves with Logic and the recording kind of software, I guess. It's not my favorite hat to wear. I kind of wish that there were studios more accessible. But it's an important skill to have, I think, just because we find like in songwriting, it's really important to be able to record a version. Otherwise, sometimes songs never really get born, or they're not like fully born. Uh-huh. Until you're kind of forced to like make some decisions.
Recording the parts helps you.
Yeah, because when you're just jamming with other people,
sure.
You can kind of, I don't know, it just ends up being different. There's always a lot of work to do. You think a song's done and then you try to record it and it's...
Yeah. You find that, Eli, as well? Does that ring true to you as well? Or you maybe operate a little bit more independent, like solo in a way, I take it. But maybe I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, I would say I pretty much go right into my recording software, though. I do have singer-songwriter songs that I'll just do on guitar, but I flesh out most of my songs within the DAW, and that's like how I compose music.
Yeah. And you guys, it's more like jam for a while
we've kind of gone through phases.
Down.
It was
we jammed
like,
together. Some songs were born on riffs.
Early on in the pandemic, we were doing a lot of, we were doing, like we had a lot of synths and like loops and sequencers, so like we could, and then
a drum machine.
At the same time, the music we were making was kind of similar, like making it directly in the software,
right,
as opposed to like ripping out ideas in analog. But it just became like it became difficult to accomplish dynamic changes. It felt like the music, I don't know, like.
And we got a practice space that changed everything. We started jamming with drummers.
I was just about to ask that. Did you build out a studio at your house or did you get a space?
There's somebody who was fortunate to. There's a house, one of the first houses that was ever built in Petersburg back in like 1909, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's falling apart, and somebody just picked it up for a bargain, basically. Mm-hmm. And actually, is an individual from Juneau. Their profession is to like kind of refurbish old houses and get them on the historical registry. So that's the plan here. So we're just kind of occupying it and paying
utilities. This is the kind of thing I was talking about. The people like Zach who just sort of fill in these spaces and allow for creative work and artists to have a space to operate. Yeah.
So we had a space that was where we could be loud.
Yes.
And practice and jam, and people would come in just right off the road.
It's
right
a very public space. Yeah, it's surprising how much foot traffic you get, how people feel they just walk right in
people
when they
come
hear live
in
music.
Right off their fishing boat, they're really excited to be on land because Petersburg is a fishing town. So people will come in, fresh off the fishing boat. They haven't talked to another human being in a while. And they're
the best audience.
Yeah. And, they see us with our guitars and our lights, and they just come in and they're all lit and they're like, can we mosh here? And we're like, sure, that's not going to stop us. So,
I was going to ask you, it must be depending on where you are in your kind of creative process. Mm. Maybe it's not really ready for prime time. You know what I mean?
And, oh yeah. People will complain anyway. They're like, that part didn't sound right. And I was like, yeah, I agree.
We know.
Yeah. People are always happy to help you out.
Yeah.
Eli, tell me a little bit about where you are as far as your work is going. Do you have are you trying to get together a CD, or are you trying to get together, where are you in that sort of process right now?
Yeah. So I have a lot of music that I'm working on and working through, and some of it will probably never be released, and some of it I hope will. I'm really excited to work more with Isaac and in a studio with other humans and not just me and my computer. So more of that and releasing this song, and I have a couple more that I'm building and on the way that I'll send to the same group of individuals and hopefully flesh out in the studio and just keep on going. But I don't think another album. I have an album out, but I don't think I'll do an album again. I think it'll just be singles. Maybe at some
point. I was going to ask that. Right when I asked the question, I realized this is me being an old man in the way I used to think about how music gets released. You think about an album.
Right.
But that doesn't seem like that's important. Maybe if you're trying to do something that you feel like has some sort of a thread that belongs together. But
yeah, I love the idea of an album, and I yeah, conceive of larger ideas like that, and try to build music around that. However, because of how much music is being released now and how easy it is to do so, if you do, it just gets saturated so quickly. And
where do you send your stuff? SoundCloud, YouTube,
all of the streaming services. Yeah. My friends built a release platform in college called Level. And so I send it to them and they send it out to the,
cool.
to the services.
Wow. How about you guys? What do you do as far as releasing music?
We use Bandcamp and SoundCloud, I think, just to have kind of an easily shareable way. Mm-hmm. We'd like to use YouTube. It's kind of my preferred platform, but we just don't have the bandwidth to make video content, really. I wish.
We've made a few.
Every once in a while, we get out the house and, you know, do something right. fun, dress yeah. up. But no, just Bandcamp and SoundCloud. And Frank, I mean, I'm not super impressed. It's just nice if people do want to hear your music. You know, you can kind of link... You know, it's just like a quick, easy way to share it.
Helps get us gigs more than anything
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
It would also seem like it would help in a way that like it allows you to see how your music is progressing through time in a way, right? You had a release kind of looking back on, I don't know if that's
true. Sense. Yeah, yeah. Eventually. I mean, we haven't been putting music on it for very long, but yeah, who knows? Was, 10 years from now, I mean, yeah, maybe right? this yeah. stuff will still be there.
It was interesting to revisit, like you said, the early pandemic stuff, which was much more, we call it DJ BMO. It's an Adventure Time reference, but much more like, you know, electronic loopy stuff. And now we're more live, you know, three-piece rock band. And so it has progressed.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, it's really great talking to all you guys. And Zach, thanks so much for bringing these folks into town. Once again, it's Underground Connection. It's the second Underground Connection. It's happening tomorrow night, February 11th at 8 p.m. over at the Crystal Saloon. And is there a price to get in, cover charge or anything like that? Or there should be.
Yes,
I'll just tell you right now, there ought to be a cover charge. Live music.
There is a cover charge, and it's on the poster and online. You can get tickets. There's a Facebook group. If you just search – or a Facebook event, search for Underground Connection, AK. That'll take you on Facebook to the actual page. And if you search in events, it should come right up. You could also go to thecrystalsaloon.com, and tickets are – all the ticket links are there. As far as price – Andy, yeah. I'm not going to lie. I turned my phone off to go on air, and I think it's probably 15.
Let's just say it's not going to break the bank.
Right, yeah.
Yes, it's fine.
But you should totally come on by and support local things happening.
Sounds great. Zach Pease with Underground Connection, thanks so much. Sarah Fine and Thomas Walsh are both with Delgado up from Petersburg, and Eli Wills, thanks so much for coming up all the way from the lower 48, mm-hmm. from Seattle, Washington. We appreciate it. Thanks to all of you guys for coming in, and have a great show tomorrow night. I'm sure it'll be awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So thanks. Much.
Hansen Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin tak anakaya ha anikak. Gunnish cheesh.
Well, in memory of Burt Bacharach there, there's a little bit of Promises, Promises by the inimitable Dionne Warwick. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about one of the most fun and cool things that happens on an ongoing basis here and happening now again, now that the pandemic's kind of in the rearview mirror. Mudrooms, such a part of the fabric of the things that happen here in Juneau, and excited to have it back. And joining me now are David Noon with Mudrooms. David, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Andy?
Good, good. Hear you good there on Zoom. Good to see you as well. And with us as well is Emily Mesh, who is with Sigla. And Emily's going to – and Sigla is the benefactor of the Mudrooms. Every Mudrooms is the proceeds are set aside for a nonprofit organization in Juneau. And Sigla is the nonprofit organization. So, Emily, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Dave, I'll talk to you first about this, and let's hear about Mudrooms. I understand the topic for this upcoming Mudrooms is YOLO.
Correct. You only live once, which is both literally true and also intended to inspire kind of literary musings, always of a personal nature. So we've got a really good lineup this month. The storytellers like Emily, who's going to be joining us on Tuesday on the stage.
So Emily, you're also taking the stage.
Yes, I'll be telling a story on Tuesday.
Have you done that before?
Yeah, I've done it a couple times.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So you're not a rookie.
No.
Okay. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, great. Well, so we know Emily's one of the speakers. David, run me down some of the other speakers that are going to be performing and telling stories on this February 14th edition of Mudrooms.
Sure thing. Your fellow Junoites, Eric Caldwell, Mickey Kenny, Stormy Squires, Bill Leedy, Tom Young Baker, and Mike Christensen are also going to be telling stories. And I believe a couple of those are veterans, but it's as always, we try to get new storytellers up each month. And we've got some folks who will be joining us for the first time on the Mudroom stage.
And tell me a little bit about is Mudrooms, do we have a full schedule out for the year, for the upcoming few months?
Correct. We do have events scheduled for March and April. The topics are escaping me at the moment. I think best left unsaid, I think, is March. And while we're chatting here, I'll look up the others.
I like that, though. Best left unsaid. That's good. That already points you in a certain direction already.
Correct.
Emily, without giving away what you're going to talk about, can you talk a little bit about where the direction of your story is going to go?
I have a lifelong obsession with Billy Joel, and it involves
more than just 80s Joel, all Joel,
everything, obscure demos that nobody has heard before.
All right, Captain Jack, everything, all of it. Yes.
Ask me one day about Handball.
Okay, very good. Well, that's enough. I'm sold already. You're going to talk Joel, all things Joel, your interaction, why Joel, all that. And it'll be tied into You Only Live Once as well.
Yeah.
Okay. I like this. This is very interesting. David, tell me a little bit about the process whereby Mudrooms chooses where the money proceeds are going to be donated to, and a little bit about the process of how CIGLA was decided on. Then we'll talk to Emily about the mission of CIGLA.
Sure. Well, we do accept applications every year, and typically what we'll do is we'll set aside a couple of shows in the fall for one beneficiary, and then a few shows in the spring for a second. And there have been a few times when we've held one-off shows for one local organization or another, but typically we choose two. We try to choose organizations that are Juno-based rather than Alaska-based. We try to choose organizations, beneficiaries that are small but have a really good vision for how they're going to what they're going to do with the money that we raise. So the board, looks at the applications every year and makes a determination, as we did with CIGLA, that it was, an organization with a good mission, and they had some needs that we thought we could help out with. So it was a great looking forward to the partnership for the next couple of months. And I should mention, I did find the themes. March is disconnect and April is better left unsaid. So
all right.
I slightly misrepresented that.
Well, Emily, transitioning and segueing into what David was talking about, the mission of CIGLA, tell me a little bit about the organization and what its kind of main goals and mission are.
Right. So CIGLA, it's the Southeast Alaska LGBTQ Alliance, and we're a community organization, and our goal is to build community for LGBT folks in Juneau and Southeast Alaska. We're probably most well known for spearheading Juno's annual Pride events in June. But we hold events throughout the year. We try to do two things every month. Last month, we had a campfire and s'mores night at Skater's Cabin, and we held a clothing swap at Juno Bike Doctor. Shout out to Juno Bike Doctor. They're fantastic.
Great.
We also support organizations throughout Southeast. We've worked with people in Skagway and in Ketchikan in the last year to help them get their projects off the ground. And it's just making sure that we have this community, because for LGBT folks, it isn't necessarily a given that we're going to be accepted everywhere. So finding spaces where you are accepted is it's essential for just having a good life.
Do you think that there's things that that your organization's concentrating on that are particular to life in Juneau for people in the community that you're representing?
Well, we try to be responsive to the community. If somebody comes to us with an idea, we will try to get them resources to have that idea come to fruition. An example, in March, we're planning to bring a magician down from Skagway. His name is Andrew Naden. We brought him down last year, and it was a super successful show. So we wanted to bring him again. And the proceeds for this show, half of the proceeds are going to be going to a fund that NAMI put together to provide trans and non-binary youth with gender-affirming items if something's not easy to find or out of their budget. And again, it goes back to these are things that from NAMI's perspective, this is mental health. This is suicide prevention, because if you don't have access to these kinds of things, it takes a toll on your well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I'd wandered from the question a little bit.
No, that's exactly. I mean, you're getting exactly the types of things that your organization tries to counter. Obviously, suicide, mental health, those kinds of things figure in to a lot of the work that you end up doing.
Right.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's a lot of responsiveness to the community. If our board meetings are open, if somebody comes, we'll try to get them volunteering for something or organizing something. And it's just as much capacity as we have to do, that's what we want to accomplish.
Yeah, great. David, tell me a little bit about how people can get involved in mudrooms if they – maybe it looks, sounds like you've got a full slate for the upcoming show, of course, but are there openings? And maybe just a few words about why someone should think about getting up on stage and telling a story.
Sure. Well, the easiest answer to that question is that everyone has stories, and you know, the experience that people have telling those stories in front of a live audience, I think is really, it's nerve-wracking, but I think it's also liberating. We have a really good crew of board members that can help refine stories, offer coaching on stage techniques, and it's a really supportive environment, that, you know, the audience is always there to hear good stories. And so, you know, it's a warm setting for that kind of thing.
Emily, I was just going to ask Emily, when you first went, what was the thing that made you first decide I'm going to go ahead? Cause I imagine it being a nerve wracking a little bit, as David was saying.
I mean, I imagine it is for a lot of people. I have done theater for a while.
Okay. So for you, it felt natural.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. And David, sorry to interrupt you there. How can people get involved if they want to take the leap?
Well, we have one spot at the moment available for March's show, which I said is under the theme Disconnect. At the moment, we only have one out of seven storytellers pegged for April. So if you've got something better left unsaid, you know, paradoxically should go ahead and say it. So folks can visit our website, mudrooms.org. We have archives going back over a decade, so people can listen to old stories to get a sense of perhaps what they, how they might you know, approach telling their tales. And we've got sign up forms there as well on the website. It's really easy to navigate. So,
and it's all happening February 14th. Is that Northern Lights Church? Is that right?
Correct.
And it's at 7. Is that
7 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
And we've got, yeah, we're going to have music by Annie Bartholomew. This is her first time with us, I believe. So we're really excited to have her on stage as well.
That's great. Annie's always fantastic. That's going to be a terrific part of the show as well. And I know there's always a suggested donation of $7 as well. And of course, that can go up. And all that will go right towards a local nonprofit here in Juneau, Sigla, that's helping people in their community. Well, thanks to both you, Emily and David, for coming in. Have a great YOLO show on February 14th. Great to talk to you. Great to see you, David, and great to see you as well, Emily. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Thanks, Andy.
That's a little bit more Burt Bacharach. If you haven't heard of him, look him up. He's an amazing composer. Just passed away this past week, so... Music from Burt Bacharach. Well, right now, Margaret Lutke is here from the Juneau Public Libraries. Margaret, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to see you. And as always, lots going on at the library and lots happening. And I know, first of all, we want to talk story time. So tell me, first of all, what's going on with story time?
Definitely. Yeah. Honestly, I just wanted to remind everybody that we've got story times again.
Yeah, right.
So Tuesdays at 11 o'clock in the Valley and 3:30 in Douglas, we've got... story times every week. Come on down.
If someone's ever been to story time or never brought their kid to story time, what can they expect?
So there's we sing a song, we get our sillies out at the beginning, then we listen to some stories and engage with the stories. It's about a half hour program, so not a huge commitment.
Is it an age group targeted?
0 to 3, I believe, is the age group that's targeted for these. We're hoping to eventually get back into toddler times, which is a slightly older group.
Okay.
But for right now, we've just got the 2 story times.
And what's the state of children's literature and those kinds of books right now in the world? I mean, that was 30 years ago for me, so I don't remember buying books like that anymore. But
I mean, there's all kinds of exciting stuff that's coming out. Huge news: Michaela Goad got another Caldecott, or got a Caldecott. It's great. It's amazing.
It's
not
amazing.
Crazy.
It's no,
very, I mean, very it's deserved.
It's very deserved.
Yes.
Her work is incredible, and beautiful and meaningful. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of what I was thinking when I asked the question, because I'm friends with her and see stuff on social media about what she's doing. And I just was thinking, wow, that's so fascinating. I wonder what some trends might be happening in children's literature right now.
Yeah, I think there's a huge appetite for recognizing more Indigenous authors and illustrators, which is wonderful to see, especially living in a place with such rich history. But everywhere across the country is benefiting from.
I think that's really true. I hadn't really thought about it, but when you think about like sort of unlocking the treasure trove of stories and history and knowledge that Indigenous culture brings us. It's like such it's powerful.
Yeah. And to bring it to really accessible stories, accessible picture books for all families.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. Okay. So story time happening Tuesdays at 11 in the Valley and 3:30 in Douglas on Tuesdays. And then I know you've got a couple of kind of programs coming up. One is about landscaping.
Yes.
So what's that about?
The Southeast Alaska Master Gardeners Association has partnered with us for a series of programs over the course of the next 3 months, all about landscaping. So the first one, we're going to discuss landscape design and what to do with excess water. That'll be on Thursday, February 16th at 5:45 at the Valley Library. And we've also made it available via Zoom. So if you'd prefer to connect with that program, attend that program via Zoom, you can register on our website at juno.org/library. Right on the front page, there's a link to register.
That's great that you're making it accessible and that, you know, that's one of these things that is a holdover maybe from the past few years we've gone through, but Zoom certainly has allowed for access to happen in a way that it wasn't before.
Yeah, it makes it easier. You know, say you don't want to drive to the Valley Library for a program that happens right around dinner time on a weeknight. You can have it on in the background, like your favorite podcast.
Or maybe you've got a sneeze or two or something like that, and you want to make sure that you're not in a crowd. Yeah.
And the other thing is we've passed on this information to libraries around the region as well, because the Master Gardeners Association really does, their goal is to serve the entire region. And we've passed on the information about the program. So hopefully we'll have people in from all over the Southeast region.
So this one that's coming up is the first in a series that's happening on Thursday at 5:45. And then there's one in March and one in April as well, kind of covering different parts of this same kind of subject matter. Well, that's really cool.
Great time to think about planning your garden.
Another thing that I'm really interested in hearing about is this program that you have lined up about tenants' rights.
Yes. So Alaska Legal Services is going to present on tenants' rights and responsibilities. That'll be Wednesday, February 22nd at 6 p.m. Also a hybrid program. So if you'd prefer to attend via Zoom, you can. And you'll find the registration on our website.
I know a lot of times people rent apartments or, you know, that kind of thing. They feel like they're held over the barrel for certain, you know, and it's really important to know that you're entering into a contract where you have rights and you have abilities and you have, you know, abilities to make sure things are done correctly for the tenant as well as for the landlord.
Yeah. So, and it can be such a mysterious process, an overwhelming process. If you do end up having questions about whether your rights are being upheld, so that's really the hope with this program, is to make all of that clear. And the people over at Alaska Legal Services they do this program all. This isn't their first time presenting on this particular topic, so they're really. It's a great program. I'm excited.
You know, we talk about, so from tenants' rights to landscaping to stories and children's books, like the breadth of the library and working at the library is really cool. And it's pretty cool time right now to think about that, because you guys are actually recruiting for people to work in the library.
Yes, we are. We are recruiting an outreach position. It's a assistant library technician 2 is the technical title. And this particular position, we're hoping for someone with strong cultural knowledge. It's a pretty broad definition of cultural knowledge. We're hoping for somebody who can help us work specifically with underserved populations here in our community in Juneau. And it's a really dynamic team that we have in the outreach department. They go to the pioneer homes and they attend the elder lunches, and they do so much around town, and they're trying to recruit in order to increase their capacity to do even more out and about in our community.
It's really cool to think about the library as having this big component that's about outreach. Of course, you're part of that as well. But I mean, that people are out there doing these programs that are outside of the building.
Bringing the library and our services to where people are. So we've got pop-up libraries at a few different locations in town where, we bring literal library materials, like suitcases full of library materials and a little laptop that we open up, and we check things out to people right where they are. And it's great.
Well, that's what's happening in the library. Margaret, thanks so much for coming in, letting us know about it. Again, story time is happening Tuesdays at 11 in the Valley and at 3:30 in Douglas. And then there's these two different programs. One's coming up this Thursday, February 16th at 5:45. And that's on landscaping. Is that at the Valley location? Mm-hmm. That's at the Valley Library, on practical landscaping for Southeast Alaska. And then tenants' rights. That's coming up a little bit later next, not this coming Wednesday, but next Wednesday, the 22nd. That's tenants' rights, Know Your Rights with Alaska Legal Services. Margaret, thanks so much for coming in and letting us know what's happening at the library.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. And that's it for Juno Afternoon for today. A little bit more Burt Bacharach in the background here. And we are broadcasting live from Klingit-on-Nee on KTO 104.3 FM, online at kto.org, and rebroadcast on this station at 7 p.m. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. Thanks for joining us on a Juno Afternoon.